meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from a little cave on a tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened and a vision was revealed. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing in the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us, to some degree, it has always been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let us now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, and author of A Mother's Plea for the Winds Have Changed. Together, we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Welcome to Winds of Change. I'm Father Thomas Loya, your host today, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush, as I do from time to time, and always honored to do so, humbled to do so. So we are listening to listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. I'm here with Tony, right? It's Guy's Day here,
it's
right,
Guy's
Tony?
Day.
Yeah, we got guys in the control
Welcome,
room
Father.
There. We got Tony. Thank you. Christina is not here. Christina is in Mexico. Mm-hmm. She's having memorial masses for her grandmother who passed away. So remember her in our prayers, Christina and her grandmother. And also, we'll have a guest on today as well who is a male. So this is Guy's Day, I guess, here at Winds of Change. I am holding in my hand, as I'm speaking to you, a photograph of a beautiful statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary, decapitated.
Oh.
That's right, decapitated. A horrific sight. There's her face, her head, on the ground at the base of the statue. The statue is in a church, in its setting, decapitated. Beautiful statue of the Virgin Mary. Also decapitated is the head of Christ, the Christ child, whom she holds in her arms. This is at a church at Malawi, a Catholic church in Egypt. But that's not all. There have been dozens and dozens and dozens, some reports as much as 80 churches so far, that have been looted and burned and torched. 23 others have been attacked and heavily damaged. After torching a Franciscan school in Cairo, Egypt, Islamists paraded three nuns on the streets like prisoners of war before a Muslim woman offered them refuge. We certainly thank that Muslim woman. Two other women working at the school were sexually harassed and abused as they fought their way through a mob. Hundreds from both communities thronged two monasteries in the province of Bani Suef, south of Cairo, to thwart what they had expected to be imminent attacks on Saturday. Local activist Giris Wahib said, activists reported similar examples elsewhere in regions of Cairo, but not enough to provide effective protection of churches and monasteries. I could go on, and what you're hearing on this program, Winds of Change, as I like to call it, blowback, winds that have to change. First of all, winds that have to come through our reality that bring the truth with them, that our eyes are open to what is happening. In the Middle East, in spite of all the turmoil that we do hear about in the news, we do not hear the one thing that is most significant and actually has the biggest implications globally is what you do not hear about. You do not hear about the persecution of Christians in the Middle East, and in particular, in Egypt. And most particularly, a group of Christians called the Coptic Christians, both Orthodox and Catholic. They are a very courageous group, a group that is witnessing in a very real way to Christianity, to Christian martyrdom. We'll talk a little bit more about who they really are and their background and so on our program, but we're going to bring on our program today a special guest, a man who is a Coptic himself. His name is Dr. Ashraf Ramallah. He's the founder and president of voiceofthecopts.org. Voice of the Copts. Now, Copts is spelled C-O-P-T-S. It's a little challenging to pronounce those syllables, those consonants, right, all together. Copts. Voice of the Copts. Founder and president of Voice of the Copts, a human rights organization with offices in Italy and the United States. He is dedicated to the Coptic cause and believes that this life's mission is to speak up for the oppressed Copts who cannot speak up for themselves. Hence the name Voice of the Copts. Now, when Dr. Ashraf Ramallah is not meeting with political figures and policymakers, Dr. Ramallah spends his time traveling throughout the country, giving talks about the Coptic issue and explaining to the West the oppression against the Coptics that's happening in Egypt. Dr. Ramallah was invited to address the European Parliament in 2010 and to be the keynote speaker in the Italian Parliament in 2011 on the issue of Coptic persecution in Egypt. He's done various interviews with Italian newspapers and appears frequently in Italian and Arab media. Dr. Ramallah is a featured author at AmericanThinker.com, FamilySecurityMatters.com, and CanadaFreePress.com. He himself is a Copt. He was born in Cairo, Egypt. At the age of 17, he traveled to Italy to study architecture. He graduated with a doctorate in architecture from La Sapienza, Università degli Studi di Roma, Italy. His special study is restoration of old monuments and history of architecture. His career as an architect took him to work and live in Italy, Saudi Arabia, Gabon, and the USA. His personal interests are Egyptology and Coptic history in the period after the Arab invasion of Egypt in 651 AD. Voice of the Copts is dedicated to bringing fair, correct, and balanced information to the entire world regarding Copts and Christians in countries with an Arab Muslim majority. We welcome to Winds of Change, Dr. Ashraf Ramallah. Welcome, Doctor.
Thank you. Wonderful to hear your voice, Father, and I appreciate very much every word you said about me. I am just emotionally with your beautiful voice, your calm voice. You put really peace in my heart. Thank you very much.
Could you believe that was you I was talking about?
Yeah. Somebody that I know.
Well, Doctor, let's take it from the top. Let's talk about who the Coptic Christians are in Egypt, why they're important, significant, and what they're experiencing.
Great. Okay. Copts are the real Egyptians, the people that they used to live when Saint Mark arrived in Egypt after Christ risen and went to heaven, and Saint Mark came to Egypt and started to preach the Bible. And since Egyptians already used to believe in one God, Sun God, was very easy to them to understand the Christianity, and they praised Christianity in, I could say, historically, in 200 years, Egypt became a Christian country. What happened at that time, the interesting thing about Christian Egypt, that already with the beginning of Christianity, since Egypt was occupied by Romans, and at that time, Roman was not Catholic Roman that we know it today, so they start to be persecuted and oppressed and discriminated from Roman army that used to be in Egypt.
And
600. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. 651, we have the invasion of Muslim Arabs that they invade. They came, technically they left from Mecca going up north to Palestine and to that area, Lebanon, Iraq, occupied them. They came to Egypt and occupied Egypt in 651, removing the Romans because the Roman military at the time, Roman army at the time, became weak, and the Muslim Arabs started to invade all this area, North Africa, and after that they went to Europe, Spain, and other South Europe.
What does the word Coptic mean?
Okay, the word Copts coming from the ancient Greek language, and at that time Egypt is called Egyptus. And Egyptus is related to the color of the mud of the Nile. Usually before the high dam was built, the rain coming in Central Africa in Lake Victoria brings the mud through the flooding pipe, and the color of the land of Egypt became reddish. So was called Egyptus. When the Arab Muslims arrived to Egypt, they were not able to pronounce it right, so they took the E from the beginning of the word out and the S out, and they used to call the people of this part of the planet Qibti in Arabic language. And Qibti means Egyptian. So technically speaking, today we call Copts, we call them as a religious, how we call it, a religious denomination, but in reality the word Copts means Egyptian. And the Muslims at that time, they changed it from Egypt, now they call it Masr, but still the word Qibti related to who remained Christians, Copts, Christians.
Dr. Ashraf, when the Arab Muslims invaded in the
651.
When they did, since from that time to the present, what has the history been like between Christians and Muslims in Egypt?
Well, the history, it is, how you call it, Father, it is really the maximum of persecution and the maximum of oppression and the maximum of discrimination. I don't want to go, I mean, I cannot say what happened in 1400 years and the little time that we have, and mm-hmm. also if we have a lot of time, we cannot say. But let me give you and give your listener a little bit of idea what's happening. At certain period of time, Christians cannot speak the language, the Coptic language. The Coptic language was a composition between the ancient hieroglyphic language and the Greek language, and they mixed it together, became a Coptic language. So Christian in Egypt cannot use this language. At certain moment, they Muslims were cutting the tongue of who speaking Copts language. The only people right now, and the use of the language is still used inside the churches. The mass is mixed between Coptic language and Arabic language in Egypt, in United States of America, as well as in Europe, in each country like Italy and other countries. They try to put the language of the country there because due to the kids that they are born in this new country that Christian immigrated to, they need to let them understand also the liturgy. So in America, for example, if you go to Christian Coptic church, you will hear the mass in three languages, Coptic, Arabic, and English. Now, going back to your question, this was part of the discrimination against Copts Christians in Egypt. After that, the story that you already talked about, the 83 churches that just damaged and destroyed and burned down since August 14, that occurred also back in 651. Various monasteries were destroyed, various churches were destroyed, and for certain reasons, for certain times, Christians had all their churches closed down. And there is a story, if you allow me to say it, related to the story. In time of Al-Khalifa, Al-Amr Bismillah, one of the Khalifa that they was ruling the country, he decided to close all the churches. And the churches was closed for almost 9 years. Around the 9th year, he decided to go around and see what Christians are doing. So he was walking in the streets in night time, and in spite that the windows, doors, and lights was closed in Christians' apartments, he heard them praying. So the day after he issue a decree saying, open the church. I was trying to close the church in the street. Now they have a church in each apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another kind of discrimination against Christians. If we go also in the Omrani decree that was issued by Osmanis when they occupied Egypt, you could see further that the maximum of discrimination. I am not going to say everything is written there, but I could tell you, for example, it was written, if a Christian sitting and a Muslim crossing, transiting by, the Christian has to stand up. Christian cannot ride horses, but they could ride only donkeys. And when they ride it, they cannot ride it in the right way. They have to ride it backward. So technically, his face, the person that he's riding the donkey, has to be facing the tail of the donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Christians are not allowed to dress like Muslims. Christians are not allowed to preach about the New Testament, or preaching about their religion. If a Christian person decided to change his religion, Christians don't have any right to go to talk with him, trying to let him understand that he's not supposed to change his religion. And go on for all kind of discrimination and oppression like that.
Well, we have so much history to talk about here up to the present. We're going to talk about the present, what's happening there in Egypt, with our special guest when we return. Our special guest, again, is Dr. Ashraf Ramla of the Voice of the Copts. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome to the St. Stanislaus Kostka Italian Lesson of the Day. Let's begin by practicing saying spaghetti dinner in Italian. Spaghetti cena. Very good. And what's even better than saying spaghetti dinner in Italian is to eat a great three-course spaghetti dinner at the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Cafeteria, served on Sunday, September 8th, from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. Yeah, you can get meatballs or plain marinara sauce, along with a tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, and your choice of coffee, milk, or juice, and assorted pastries for dessert. Just $9 for adults. Children ages 10 and under, just $5. Early tickets at the parish office. There'll be live music and games for adults and raffles, too, all to help raise money to restore St. Stan's. St. Stan's annual spaghetti dinner Sunday, September 8th, from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. at the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Cafeteria, 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Now, can you say spaghetti dinner in Italian? The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You may have been thinking about this for quite some time. What is truly in the interest of your child's education? And perhaps your child's school might be closing.
Final bell will ring today at 28 Chicago public schools that are scheduled to permanently close.
And I'm never going back to my old school.
Consider an affordable, Christ-centered Catholic school for tomorrow. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, where your child's education truly comes first. Secure a first-rate education for your child. Visit ststandschicago.org. That's ststandschicago.org. Or call 773-278-4560. That's 773-278-4560. St. Stanislaus Kostka School is located at 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. That's just off the corner of Division and Noble. St. Stanislaus Kostka School, where your child's education truly comes first. Visit ststandschicago.org now.
Welcome back to Winds of Change. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush today on listener-supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ. I'm here with Tony. Also, we have a special guest, Dr. Ashraf Ramla. We're talking about the plight of Coptic Christians, Christians in the Middle East, in particular Egypt. And, you know, Tony, I'm kind of glad we have a break because, you know, to take all this in, to digest this, just a little bit of history that Dr. Ashraf was sharing with us, that this centuries of this kind of persecution, it's just, what's your thoughts and reactions?
Well, I was thinking, as the doctor was talking, I think about all the
the little things we deal with here in, you know, in America, these racism. Racism is around, and, you know, people are getting killed, and, you know, we sit back and we debate about this, that, and the other thing. But in other countries, Christians are dying. I mean, it's not a matter of debate. Things are happening. Churches are being burned to the ground. And it makes me wonder, I mean, are we really thinking about the right things here? When you think about what goes on around the world, things like this always make me think about that.
Yes, and how shallow, superficial
exactly
our relationship to church, to faith is, that we will walk away from church because it's too long. I don't like the priest. Right. It is shallow, superficial. And here there are people. In fact, I have a picture. I had a picture of the Virgin Mary and Christ child together, decapitated. I also have a photograph of people having mass, you know, liturgy, worshiping in a church that had just been burned and bombed. And yet they're back there worshiping in this burned out church at the threat of their own lives. So, Dr. Ashraf, I want to welcome you back to our program today. Bring us a little bit up to the present. I know we were talking before, yesterday I was speaking with you, and you mentioned something about how the most recent tension started having to do with the Coptics wanting to build their churches and some codes or rules about that. Can you start there?
Yeah. Before that I say this, just I would like to attach to one interesting thing that I was reading about a couple of days ago, if allow me.
Mm-hmm.
One of the Christian priests in Egypt said the following, and I'm quoting here. We are back to the time of the martyrs, and we are happy.
We are back to the time of the martyrs?
Right, and we are happy for that.
We are happy for that. Boy, is that a witness or what?
Yeah, that's a witness.
My goodness. It's amazing.
Anyway, yeah, it is amazing. And, you know, the people praying in the burning church and sitting, how you call it, bowing down. And just, tears come to my eyes when I read and hear, and I told these people for Egypt. Saying whatever they
say. And I know that they had challenges in, like, when they wanted to build a church, and I think this is where the Coptic started to push back, started to stand up for their rights. In fact, the protests that have been going on, the Coptics have certainly been in their hearts have been part of it. They're not necessarily instigators, but they're standing up for justice. You know, they're not trying to create civil unrest, but they're standing up for justice. And I think this started a little while ago, Doctor, didn't it, when they were going to build their churches and they had some kind of restrictions to that?
Well, it is part of Al Umraniyya decree that I was talking about before. In order to build a church up to the time of Mr. Mubarak, the former president of Egypt, the only person that allowing anything related to Coptic Christian church, and when I talk about Coptic Christians here, I'm talking about all the denominations, not only the Orthodox church, mm-hmm. Catholic, Protestants, all the churches. The only person that allowed to get permit for anything, including changing a faucet inside the church, was the president of the Republic.
Hmm.
That's number one. Number two, once you decide that you buy a piece of land and you decide to build a church in that piece of property, could take you from 10 days to 35, 40 years. Depend on the location, depend on how many complications around you and how they try to give you a hard time. I remember one time going back in vacation from the time that I was studying in Rome, my father looked at me and said, you know, when the tourists come to this country, they see a church surrounded with four or five mosques, and they believe that we are living in harmony and love. They don't understand that they're building the mosque with their microphones against the church just to disturb us when we are praying and to bother.
Mm.
Now, going to what happened in the famous Western denomination that they call it Arab Spring, that I never called it Arab Spring. I call it Islamic Revival, I would call it. But anyway, back in October 2010, there were a project for building a church. I think that they give them the authorization to start to build after about 14 or 15 years. And when they submit the plans to build the church, usually the authority asking that there is no sign that makes the people understand the church. No cupola, no crosses have to be seen on all this situation here. This Umraniya church that was located close to Giza, close to the pyramid area, just to give you a point of reference here. Once they finished the roof, the authority realized that they put a cupola on top of the church. So they asked them to stop working. And various people, without any authority, just went there, wanted to destroy the building. Christian cops in that moment in Egypt, they decided to stand up. They were fed with all this discrimination. They were tired of this discrimination. They want that they have the right. And this due also to the technology that we have now, nowadays, between internet and cell phone and all this thing. So they start to fight back. They went and they make the first big protesting next to the municipality of Giza and embarrassed the authority. And the result of this protesting was, if you father remember, in January, in New Year's Eve, January 2011, the Church of Alexandria, the Coptic Church of Alexandria called Toussaint, was bombed while people was inside the church, leaving the church, leaving 83 people dead. This was the payback from the regime of Mubarak because Christians was protesting about their perceived discrimination. And from my point of view, that what sparked the uprising of January 2011 that led to remove Mr. Mubarak from power.
And but then when they had the, what we, our country saw was so-called democratic elections with Morsi, it turned out to not be the case, correct?
Democratic what, father?
Election.
Egypt never have democratic election for almost 60 and more years. Since the time of Nasser was kind of referendum, yes or no to the president and nobody else. So if I say no, there is nobody could replace him. Okay, and when I was young, we used to say that they have all these other boxes filled with yes, 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 and everybody say no here, nobody counting, because in the end, the result was 99.9% saying yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so there was no election. Besides the point, the first time that we have this kind of election was the SCAF that was handling the country after January 2011 compromised, and it is clear as a solemn midday, with the Muslim Brotherhood. Prior to the election, Muslim Brotherhood was giving rice and potatoes and oil to the poor people to allow to buy the vote from them.
Mm-hmm.
And also was kind of a slogan that democratic is equal either. So you don't vote for anybody speaking about democracy because democracy is evil.
Hmm.
You need to vote for Islam. In fact, the slogan was Islam is the answer.
What, Doctor, now currently the military that has taken over, is that good for Christians or not?
Well, I mean, up to this moment, from my point of view, watching what's happening in Egypt, is good for the country.
Mm-hmm.
2 days ago, El-Sisi, the general El-Sisi that he led all this situation, he declared that all the churches destroyed and burned down will be built, the military will build them, the army will build them again.
Mm.
But technically speaking, they could build it, but history, they cannot replace it because we have churches from 300, from the century, from the 4th century, from the 15th century, from the 5th century, sorry. And you were saying about the Franciscan school. This Franciscan school was built 150 years ago with landmark.
Mm.
So if you build it today, it is not the same thing.
Yes.
But if we, back to your question, I believe that El-Sisi, in spite of various people saying that he part of the Muslim Brotherhood, whatever, he acting the way that a person loves his country. Mm-hmm. He's not looking to be in favor of someone against another person. And the funny thing, Father, here is that in January 2011, all the media call it Arab Spring, now they're calling a coup.
Yes.
Well, it's not a coup.
Doctor, what would be your message to Americans? First of all, what we want you to let everybody know where they can get in touch with you, where they can find out more about your work. Go to your website.
Yeah. Yeah, the website is www.voiceofthecops.org, as you said before. Cops is COPTS, P like Papa, T like Tango, S like Tierra. And not cops, because usually they say cops, oh, what are you talking about? The cops is good people. I think cops. we are here to serve the West, because the West needs to learn what happened in the Middle East, what happened to the Christian in general. And Father, allow me to say one thing. We are not against Muslims. We are against supremacy. Everybody has the freedom to believe whatever he wants to believe.
Right.
We are not against people personally, because we feel sorry for them because they don't know the Lord.
Yes.
But this is, we told the only thing that we could give them the Bible, read it. If you have any questions, ask me. But my fight and our fight is for our democracy, for our freedom of speech, for our freedom of religion. When I want to pray to Jesus, nobody could come to tell me, no, you don't have the right to pray. If I want to build a smaller church or bigger church, if I have the opportunity to do it, I have the permit to do it, I have the right to do it, I have to do it in the United States of America as well as in Egypt.
Yes. And for Americans, what would be your message, Doctor?
Well, there is various things to be done. The important thing it is, don't believe what anybody's saying about Islam to you in English, because the translation of Quran is not accurate. Personally, I read the Holy Bible in Arabic, in Italian, in English. And a lot of time when I can't say something in English, I try to say it in different way, in my broken English, my accent, and people could understand what I am referring to.
Mm-hmm.
But the same thing, you read it in Arabic, in Italian, in English, it is the same. When I read the Quran, it is not the same translation in English or in Italian.
Mm.
They try to give a language to fit our mentality.
Yes.
But it's not the real language, it is written in Arabic. And also, the people that they don't understand the Arabic language, they have to understand one thing important in the Islamic religion is the abrogation. And the abrogation is there is our verses abrogated with other verses, and they're still in the Quran. So technically speaking, if I come to you and say, you have your religion and I have my religion, yes, it is written in the Quran, but it's abrogated.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't use it anymore.
So
when they come to you and tell you that we allow freedom of religion, it's not true, because this thing is taken out.
Yes. Well, Doctor, you've been very insightful, and stay in touch. I'm sure we're going to have you on the program again. I want to thank you for being with us. And once again, this is Dr. Ashraf Ramallah from the Voice of the Cops. You can find out about him and his work, voiceofthecops.org. And, Doctor, we are together in prayer with all of your people, the Coptic Christians, the Egyptians, We are in prayer together with them as fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, as fellow people of the human race. And again, we want to thank you for being on Winds of Change.
Thank you for having me, and God bless you, Father.
God bless you, too. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on Winds of Change. Listeners supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Walk into the sanctuary of the Divine Mercy and be immersed into the silence of this great sacred space, and place yourself in front of the true presence of Christ in the iconic monstrance anytime you wish, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy at St. Stanislaus Kostka, just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble. Christ is waiting. The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
Hi, I'm Sister Helena Burns from the Daughters of St. Paul. Do you ever wish it was easier to discern the will of God in your life? Do you ever wish God would just tell you what to do, plain and simple? Well, you probably know that there are no quick fixes or easy shortcuts in life, but it may be helpful to understand that God's will is not a thing, something we acquire and then we're all set. No, God's will is a living thing. God's will is our minute-by-minute relationship with Him. My new daily book for women called He Speaks to You can get you in the habit of listening to and speaking with Jesus about your life every day. Each month has a theme, and each day has 6 components. Jesus speaking directly to you, a scripture verse, wisdom from the nuns, something to do, something to journal, and a prayer. By spending just a few minutes a day with the book He Speaks to You, by the end of the year, you will have discovered much more about God's daily will for you. Order He Speaks to You today. Available from Pauline Books and Media in Chicago, 312-346-4228. Also available for Kindle and Nook.
Welcome back to Winds of Change. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush here on Winds of Change. Listeners support Winds of Change, which of course is more than just an identification. It's a hint. Listeners support at Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ. And here with Tony. Tony, golly, any thoughts on this? Process and digest this.
It is a lot to digest. I mean, I don't understand. I mean, I sit here and we in America, there's so much going on. There's just so much going on that you have to learn about these things. That's why I really like hearing, you know, about this, because yeah. I see it coming in so many ways.
That's a very, very good point. You see it's coming. And I'm going to share a story with you that happened to me recently. Mm-hmm. In where my church is, in a neighborhood, we have our property is such that we've made it very welcoming to children in the neighborhood. We have our environmental program, you know, it's very nature-based and so on, and kids love to come and fish and catch frogs, do all the things that kids should be doing. They feel at home there, which is great. And the other day, I was coming out of my rectory, and I had my dog with me, Zion, which means warm spirit, and he is fervent spirit. And there were 3 boys there, and 2 of them were Arab boys, little Arab boys, nice boys from the neighborhood that we, you know, we enjoy having on the property, and they come and they walk through it and enjoy our ponds and our fish and so on. And one of the boys was kind of greeting, or I should say Zion was greeting the boy, and the older boy, they're both young, but one was much younger than the other one, and he's greeting this one boy, and Zion's custom is to greet you by getting up on his hind legs and kissing you. Especially if you're a child or a woman. I always say, my dog is a man's dog and a lady's man. He loves to kiss the women and children. He could be a good politician, you know. He's a good political dog. But the other boy, the other Arab boy, was like almost in a panic. He was deathly afraid. He was staying back from the dog. And I said, oh, no, he's okay. He won't hurt you. He just wants to kiss you. And the little boy said to me with just like almost like fear in his eyes, he said, no, you don't understand. I'm Muslim. And if that dog kisses me, I won't be able to do my prayers. And then we started talking a little bit. Somehow we got on about the church, because we were standing right outside the church and had the doors wide open because it was a nice day. And I said, well, have you seen our church? And they said, oh, no, we're not allowed to go in there. So I thought, I was kind of taken aback by this a little bit. I thought, wow, this is chilling, that already these little boys at their age, first of all, being brought up in some kind of rules of maybe ritual purity and so on, which Islam has, and that's basically a throwback to the ancient, it's kind of a throwback and a variation, an adaptation, which Islam is. It's an adaptation of Christianity and the Jewish religion. And, you know, where they had, especially the Jewish religions, we know from the Old Testament, had many prescriptions for ritual impurity and being pure and impure and so on. And I thought, boy, what a throwback to that. They must have a number of that in their faith. I don't know their faith well enough, but I know they have things like that. And also then the fact that they were told somehow not to go into our church, that our churches, in fact, the terrorists who have been burning these Coptic churches in Egypt have the idea that those churches are somehow defiled, they're impure. You know, they need to be eliminated from the face of the earth. You know, Christians are an impure people because they don't follow Allah. And I thought to myself, already these young boys, they're being taught these kind of restrictions, these hesitations, you know, these boundaries. And I thought to myself, when they grow up, hopefully that won't develop into something, shall I say, more threatening. You know, because you see, remember the Boston bombers, you know, who were they? They were young men, and they were had this ethos from Islam, perhaps distorted, whatever, but they were told and taught in a way that made them become haters of this culture, enough to want to kill people. And what did people say about that? Oh, they're just like regular guys. You know, they're just in the neighborhood. We knew them. They went to the gym. They boxed. They did this, that. They seemed nice guys. And yet, here's what they were. So my point is that when we hear in America, we tend to hear about something far away. And it's on the news. It's a little news clip. They show it for a few seconds and are on to something other ridiculous, like what's happening with the Kardashians, you know, or Jennifer Lopez's rear end or something like that, you know. And this is what we look for. You know, I mean, I go to my computer and AOL comes up and all these news items. 90% of them are like gossip columns. It's like a tabloid. You don't care about who's doing what with who, you know, the latest scandal. And this is what our attention is on. And so we don't hear the reality of these things. And what's happening to our culture is that we're being lulled to sleep and things are creeping up on us. In other words, what we see as far away is a quick news item. We just scan the channel and flip to something else, our favorite program or something more silly. What happens is we're missing out on something. We're missing out on reality, as if this stuff is happening thousands of miles away. It doesn't affect, oh, it's just those crazy people there fighting all the time. They don't realize that the seeds of that are coming here. They're being planted here. And those seeds are actually being planted in cooperation with our government, people. Yes, our government currently, as America tilts more and more to the left, more and more socially, more and more in a more and more ideological fashion rather than reality. We have to be vigilant. We have to be on our toes, and we have to pray. I asked Dr. Ashraf yesterday when I was talking with him, I said, well, what are the Coptic Christians doing? I mean, what will you and I do? I mean, if something happened in our churches, even if there was some threat, I can just imagine it happened in my own parish, Tony. I think that would be the end of my parish. I mean, if people wouldn't come around, they'd be too afraid. Right. You know, the little children, they'd be afraid. There'd be nobody in church on Sunday if there was some kind of a threat. And I pray that there isn't that kind of a threat to us. But you know what? The seeds are being planted here. It's just a matter of time. You know, we have to realize this. And so we have to be, first of all, aware. And then Dr. Ashraf told me, when I asked him, what are these Coptic Christians doing? And he said, they're praying. And we heard the quote from the one priest who said, we are back in the days of the early Christian martyrs, and we are happy about it. Isn't that amazing? So these Christians, these Coptic Christians, we really have to bow in deference to them. And I'm proud to say I have a Coptic church, a Coptic Orthodox church on the street where I grew up on. My parents lived there. In fact, it had, and now perhaps we can see God's providence in this, it had for a number of years, and it might still be happening, but I know it happened. I saw it myself. I had the tears myself. They had two icons in their icon screen, which is the wall filled with icons that separates the nave from the sanctuary in many Eastern churches. They had icons that were miraculously weeping, one of the Virgin Mary, one of Christ. And of course, everybody wonders, why? Why are these icons crying? I mean, crying. You know, you could collect the tears. People would come, hundreds and hundreds of people would come, and you could collect these tears. It was just oozing out of this icon. How could this come from this piece of wood? You may say wood with a painting on it, you know? Mm-hmm. What's the source of it? It's miraculous. And we wonder why? We don't always know why, but, you know, you sometimes wonder, because there was a church here. There was a Syrian church in Cicero in Chicago that was one of the early ones that had a weeping icon of the Mother of God. And look what happened in Syria. So you wonder if these aren't premonitions, signs, warnings from the Mother of God herself, you know, weeping for her children. What's going to happen to them, to these Christian people? So they pray. They remain faithful. Like I said, I have a picture. I have a picture of these people worshiping in their church after it was burned out. I mean, these terrorists could have come back and killed those people and burned up that church again. And yet they were. Yet there they were with this great witness. We have a lot to learn, don't we?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to learn and talk more when we return. I'm Father Thomas Lea, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush, on listener supported Winds of Change, AM 750 WNDZ.
Welcome to the St. Stanislaus Kostka Italian Lesson of the Day. Let's begin by practicing saying spaghetti dinner in Italian. Spaghetti cena. Very good. And what's even better than saying spaghetti dinner in Italian is to eat a great three-course spaghetti dinner at the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Cafeteria, served on Sunday, September 8th, from 11 a.m. until 5 p.m. Yeah, you can get meatballs or plain marinara sauce, along with a tossed salad, Italian bread and butter, and your choice of coffee, milk, or juice, and assorted pastries for dessert. Just $9 for adults, children ages 10 and under, just $5. Early tickets at the parish office. There'll be live music and games for adults and raffles, too, all to help raise money to restore St. Stan's. St. Stan's annual spaghetti dinner Sunday, September 8th, from 11 a.m. till 5 p.m. at the St. Stanislaus Kostka School Cafeteria, 1255 North Noble Street, Chicago. Now, can you say spaghetti dinner in Italian? The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com. You've heard us say that Winds of Change is listener-supported. That means you, who are listening now, are donating to keep Winds of Change on the air. We need your help now, more than ever. To make your donation, go to windsofchangeshow.com. That's windsofchangeshow.com. And click on the Support Winds of Change show link and give what you can. These days, it's good to know where you can find the truth. The Winds of Change.
Welcome back to The Winds of Change. I'm Father Thomas Lea, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on listener-supported Winds of Change, 750, AM 750 WNDZ. We're having a rather chilling program today, aren't we, Tony?
Yeah.
Chilling reality. You know, I mentioned earlier that the seeds of what we're seeing happening in the Middle East, of persecution of Christians, churches being bombed, something like that, the seeds are being planted here. And again, part of the proof of that is the Boston Marathon bombers. There you go. Seeds were planted there, and they came to fruition, didn't they, in a tragic way? You think that's those are the only two people that have ideas like that in this country? You're dreaming if you think so. And I mentioned those two young boys. I mean, wonderful young boys, nice young boys. But what are they being taught? And what will those thoughts germinate into as they become young, hormonal, idealistic young men? You just wonder. And furthermore, as I mentioned, our own government is feeding these seeds. And if you don't believe me, have you heard of the HHS mandate? That's right. And what has it done? What has happened already to our own Catholic Church? Catholic Charities has had to get out of the adoption and foster care business in a lot of states because the government intruded into religious liberty and forced Catholic Charities to turn children over to homes where couples cohabitate or involved in same-sex relationships against our conscience. But we had to, so we had to make a choice. Either we comply with that, something against our conscience, or we drop that ministry. So we had to drop that ministry. What do you think is happening now with the HHS mandate? Mandating that religious institutions, against their consciences, have to supply in their insurance programs abortion and birth control. What do you think is going to happen there? We have to drop those insurance programs. Once again, we have proof that the encroachment on religious liberty is already here. It's already happening. And that's why it's good to be aware. And it's good that you're listening to this program, but I want to say hello to a few that might be listening from my own parish, Catherine, and also Mary Ellen. Hello, if you are listening, if you're staying with us today. I know you're on your lunch hour. But we have to be vigilant. And we have to pray. I'm going to read excerpts of a letter from the Egyptian Democratic Coalition. And this is in response to President Obama. I'm going to read just excerpts of this letter. The National Salvation Front, a coalition of pro-democratic and secular parties in Egypt, set out its objections to remarks made by President Barack Obama on the escalating violence in Egypt. Led by Ahmed Said of the Three Egyptians Party, the group issued the following letter. And these are just excerpts. Let us inform you about who the Muslim Brothers are. They're an unlawful organization operating outside the realm of Egyptian law, receiving foreign funding and laundering money in a flagrant breach of international law. Their aim was to rule the world through a so-called Islamic caliphate, as they believe in their absolute supremacy. Now, I just want to pause there for a second. As Dr. Ashraf said, who's fighting and standing up for injustices against the Coptics, he himself said, as does anyone, especially Christians who are standing up for their rights, they will say, as I will say, as the church will say, no one is against Muslim people. Obviously, so many of them are very, very sincere, good people. No one is against that. But what we are for, especially what I am for, is our sense of truth, of awareness, of what something is. And there is in Islam, first of all, Islam is what we would call in Christianity a Christian heresy. In other words, that's how it started, really. It started way back in the Christological heresies. It's a denial of Jesus Christ as the Son of God, as the second person of Trinity. They don't deny he exists. They just say he's a great prophet, but nothing more. For us, he's God. He's the Son of God. He's God and man. Two natures, one person. It makes all the difference in the world. Difference of how we relate to this God, how we know this God relates to us. It makes all the difference in the world. Everything comes from that one incarnational reality. And furthermore, Islam does have the thinking that the world must become Islam, because they believe that this is the true faith. Allah is the only true God. Everything else is wrong, or infidels, or impure. This is what the faith teaches. Now, individual Muslim people may not ascribe to that or pay that much homage to that aspect of their faith. They might not even be all that aware of it. But that is part of that faith. It truly is. Let's read more about this article, this letter from the Egyptian Democratic Coalition to Barack Obama. He says they say about the Muslim Brotherhood, they pretend they are God's emissaries and they will not rest until they have forced the whole world into submission. For them, Egypt is the launching pad to achieve their fascist dream. Their international reach spans the globe and they command the hearts and minds of many unsuspecting politicians. They have used deceit, soft speeches, international funds, and whenever required, violence to impose their will. Mr. President, peaceful demonstrators, because we call the demonstrators peaceful demonstrators do not have the capacity to kill more than 50 police personnel in just a few hours. Peaceful demonstrators do not attack a police station with the RPG and kill the police chief and his deputies, strip them of their clothes, and drag their naked bodies down the street. Peaceful demonstrators do not threaten Christians with genocide, as many of the Muslim Brotherhood declared in hate speeches from the sit-in stage. Peaceful demonstrators do not raise the black flags of Al-Qaeda while marching with pictures of bin Laden and Zawahiri on their chests. While the Western media was focusing on the clearing of the sit-ins, more than 45 attacks were made on Christian installations across Egypt, resulting in the torching of 19 churches and cathedrals, some built in the 6th century. Mr. President, we're on the side of freedom. We're on the side of human rights. We're on the side of justice for all. We also hurt to see mothers mourn their children and children mourn their parents. Now, the next line I'm going to read, it's going to be difficult, but I'm going to read it. It's from this letter. Have you seen, Mr. President, the video clip of the Muslim Brotherhood's supporter throwing 14-year-old children off the roof of a 6th-floor building? One mother died of sorrow when she saw the video clip of her son thrown off the building. She did not even have time to mourn. How can these be the ones the USA will never negotiate with, while the U.S. government demands that Egyptians not only negotiate with them, but also partner with them in the building of modern Egypt? Mr. President, the interest of peace in the region is served best by truly peace-loving people and democratic values. Finally, Mr. President, we hope that this letter will get your attention, for after all, we are now representing the majority. Our present government represents us, the secular, civil, and liberal political forces. We hope that you will find it of value to probe more and investigate more and ask more. When you do, we are ready to come to you in a small delegation and discuss and explain more. We are sure that you will realize that, after all, Egyptians are indeed a great people, deserving a great future. Again, that was a letter, excerpts of a letter written by Egyptian Democratic Coalition in response to Barack Obama's statements. Things like, oh, you know, the Muslim Brotherhood, we have to get along with them. But we have to understand what we're dealing with first. And again, we are not advocating, we would never advocate, especially as Christians, hating people. We're not against people, we are for people. Because we are for people, it's precisely why we're against injustice. And we alone will stand up against injustice in whatever form it takes and whatever it takes. Even, yes, to martyrdom. Not because we don't like someone, because we love someone. We love God, we love humanity, we love the created order. We love the freedom, the gift that God has given us. We believe that freedom belongs to every human being, and it's worth fighting for, suffering for, standing up for. After all, that's what made America. It's what made America great. But we're losing sight of that. Losing sight of that as Christians. That's what made Christianity great. Martyrdom of all forms. Not only blood martyrdom, but white martyrdom too. The dying to self. Not living just for comfort, but dying to self and rising to the need of others, to the love of others, to justice, regardless of the cost to ourselves. That's what happened on the cross. That's why the cross is the center of our faith. And we bear that cross. We carry within us the dying of Christ all the time, as St. Paul says. And we're losing sight of that. We wanted faith, the church, Catholicism without the cross. We wanted, as Tony was saying, palatable. We get upset over little things that aren't on our terms, that disturb our comfort. Whereas here, these Christians, these Coptic Christians, are giving the last full measure of their love and existence for God and their faith. And they are happy to do it. Yeah, it's frightening, it's painful, but they're happy to witness in so radical and pure way to the world. And here in Winds of Change, we want that witness to be known. We want you to know about it. We want you to take it to other people. And I want to thank you for listening. Let's pray for our fellow Christians in Egypt. Pray for us here in America. I'm Father Thomas Loya, sitting in for Father Anthony Bush on the listener support of Winds of Change, WNDZ, AM 750.
Become so obscure, it does not take